How do we encourage one another, as it exhorts in Hebrews 10:25, when we ourselves are discouraged?
What are we going to see on the ground? Well, the new thing that's coming our way is a 15-minute city. You might have heard about this. They're already doing it in places of Europe. Paris is doing it. In England, they're doing it.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with Pastor Brandon Holdhouse. The discussion is a concerning one about efforts to change the way we have lived for decades. Is this a final globalist push? Here is today's programming.
And this is your new tracking score that will be on your digital ID and your digital currency if it comes out. It's your ESG score. And they'll probably throw in the diversity, inclusion, equity, your DAI score in there as well. But this is how you will get bank loans. This is how you will buy houses. It's based on how, first, environmentally friendly you are, climate, social, are you woke, and governance, do you include transgenders, pedophiles, all their stuff they're going to put underneath the umbrella. Do you include that in your office, and do you include that in your business and on your boards and on your committees? And if you don't, guess what? We're not doing business with you. You can be free to have your own views, but you just simply won't get a loan for your next house or the next car that you want to buy. You simply won't be able to buy things because, I'm sorry, everything's ESG and you're not compliant, Mr. Brandon, because apparently your score is so low, you can't do anything.
Welcome to the program. I hope that was a little bit of an intriguing introduction, and I'm welcoming back someone my radio audience loves to hear from a few times a year, Pastor Brandon Holdhouse. He pastors Rock Harbor Church in Bakersfield, California. His online messages and prophecy updates are appreciated by thousands, and in following some of his recent messages, I realized he had touched on several topics of current interest, and I think they would be of current interest to you as well. In some cases, we're expanding on topics that have been covered before. What will your life look like when ESG scores become the law of the land? Another issue, will Americans experience the so-called 15-minute cities that are springing up in parts of the world? How about digital currency and digital identity? How soon? I'm also going to want to ask Brandon, how do we prepare for perilous times? How do we prepare financially, spiritually? How do we fight the discouragement of our time? How do we not let the news of the day devastate us? How do we not grow weary in well-doing? And based on Hebrews 10:25, how do we encourage one another when we ourselves are discouraged? Again, he pastors Rock Harbor Church in Bakersfield, California. Brandon, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jan. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be with you again.
I just want to start here with ESG, and I intro'd with a clip of you talking about it. So do you think they will spring this on people? They're kind of working it in gradually now.
It's definitely coming from corporatism America. We see that the big investment firms that own about $20 trillion, that being BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, are all pushing ESG compliancy with the corporations. And this is why we're watching right now in our world, corporations like Target or Kohl's or Lululemon or Nike or the Dodgers commit economic suicide by cutting off their base of support, even like Bud Light as well, and knowing that they're going to twist people off economically, but the ESG score and the BlackRocks of the world are telling them, look, you're going to lose in the short term, but in the long run, you're going to make the most money by being ESG compliant. So we see it now in corporatism, but what's going to eventually happen is it's going to transfer from the corporatism to personal levels into a social credit score. That's where it's going. And that's what people need to understand. It doesn't stay just at Target. It's going to come to you and I to where if you're not ESG compliant, then you can't do loans with a bank. You can't buy a house. If you're not going green, you can't sell your house. And then what we see, like what's happening in China, you have people that can't buy private property. They can't travel. And so that's all in the mix. And we already know that the World Economic Forum is using the model of China and its social credit score, and now trying to apply it through ESG.
This would actually dismantle life as we know it, this whole ESG nonsense.
It sure would, because any Christian that believes in the Bible and the principles and values of the Bible, you're the main target. That's what ESG targets. It worships the creation. The social credit score is every evil you see perpetrated now, the transgender movement, the LGBT movement, euthanasia, abortion, everything is under that guise. That puts the target on you and I. And then in governance, it means that eventually through the churches, they're going to develop a state-run church that promotes its governance, that accepts the LGBT lifestyle or transgender lifestyle. And right now, we already have voluntary compliance from churches already that are following the ESG, because we have churches now baptizing, practicing homosexuals that are in a gay marriage. We also have churches now having drag queen pastors, transvestites, transgenderism, all being promoted in evangelical churches now. Eventually, the governance thing is going to hit the churches, that you're going to have someone on staff that's LGBT, like Andy Stanley's church has, and I think First Baptist Orlando has. So you're going to see that development. It's going to get pretty hairy here.
I have a soundbite that I'd like to play, Brandon, and it's short, but I think it sums up this environmental social governance better than anything. And then after I play it, I want to come back and pick your brain for another minute or two, because you referenced BlackRock. This is a very evil outfit, and they've got a huge role in Fox News, which is why that's on decline. Nothing BlackRock and its head executive does is about righteousness. It's about evil, am I right?
As evil as they come.
Let's play this clip, and then, Brandon, I'd like to come back and ask you one or two more questions. Again, folks, when does this ESG hit your front doorstep? We don't know. It's just that it's in the mix now. My hunch is it could become a part of your life in the coming weeks.
Have you heard about this thing called ESG? Most people have not. It stands for Environmental Social Governance. On its surface, ESG claims to have a well-intended objective: to promote corporate responsibility. And that sounds like something we can all support.
But under the surface, lurking inside the ambiguous language and claims of social compassion, is something very different. In reality, ESG policies are a backdoor that progressives are using to invade our economy so they can advance their radical economic, social, and climate agenda.
They know they can no longer get their destructive ideas passed through our democratic process, and they can't count on winning in the courts.
So ESG is infiltrating corporate America with the help of unelected bureaucrats and regulatory agencies, like a shadow government, with no accountability to everyday investors.
Leveraging Wall Street corporate boardrooms, ESG is being used to attack our energy independence, our small businesses, and our family farms. They want to ban clean coal mining in West Virginia
and oil drilling in Texas.
They even want to ban wheat farming in Kansas
and cattle ranching in Nebraska.
They're even using ESG to push radical initiatives to mandate abortions on demand
and to strip away our Second Amendment rights. All of this is a direct threat to hardworking American families. So how exactly does ESG work? Well, it's complicated. The method of implementing ESG in our society is covert, and that's on purpose. They don't want you to know what they are doing.
Misleading their investors with claims about clean air, clean water, diversity and equity, healthcare rights, and social justice. ESG actually forces corporations to adopt divisive policies, including a dangerous green agenda with misguided climate change policies.
And racially divisive practices like white privilege training, which will only cripple our economy and divide the country we love. If left unchecked, ESG policies will continue to manipulate the entire financial sector so they can channel your investment savings to what they consider to be politically acceptable investments.
Using the ESG agenda, large investment firms are leveraging their massive investment portfolios and your retirement money to force companies all across the United States to implement the ESG agenda in their business practices. They will be violating their fiduciary responsibility to you, the client, and not maximizing your investment savings.
They're targeting our small businesses that employ millions of Americans, The same companies that impact our communities right down at the grassroots level. You or someone in your family might even work for a company that is currently being bullied by the ESG agenda.
And the firm that manages your retirement savings might be using your investment dollars right now to support divisive activism rather than building your retirement nest egg to its fullest potential. Simply stated, ESG policies are using your investment dollars to overhaul America into a nation that we will soon not even recognize. That is, if we, the people, sit by and allow it.
The United States is the greatest nation ever founded by freedom-loving people.
We are the most economically prosperous nation on Earth because of our entrepreneurial spirit. And we have an abundance of natural resources that has powered our growth.
America is the most open and welcoming nation in the world. The United States is stronger because of the true diversity of our communities.
But all of that is at risk. Everything that makes our nation the greatest in history is being threatened by an agenda that would dismantle life as we know it.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Bakersfield, California, Pastor Brandon Holthouse, Rock Harbor Church. Brandon, okay, I picked up several things there. This is kind of a shadow government going on. And it sounds like at the heart, at least in part, is to advance this climate agenda again. Talk to me about this.
What you have to realize is the ESG score is targeting not only Christianity, but targeting other areas that involves food, energy, and the economy. There's four areas that it's meant to target. It has to destroy our food and agriculture and protein production because they want control of scarcity of food and gives them a lot of leverage over countries of the world. The second thing is energy. The whole Save the Planet hoax is about destroying energy so that we all are back on electric and they can control the electricity. That's why they want electric vehicles and electric homes now that are being built and not having the freedom that we have through energy independence that's made our society. And then the other one is the economy. They cannot allow a free market economy. They're going to a corporate fascist global model in the economy. And so free markets or capitalism stands in its way. The morality of the West has to be demolished, and that's by obliterating Christianity, by promoting everything that's opposite of Christianity as a virtue now. So when you look at these areas, that's what it's intended to do. And really, what's the end result? A global system, a beast system.
Yeah.
The religious aspect that's attacking Christianity, we call the Whore of Babylon. But the Babylonian system that the Antichrist will be the head of has a three-legged stool. It has the political, the economic, and then it has the religious. And all three elements are seen in ESG. What they're forming is the Babylonian beast system.
Believers aren't going to be here for the beast system. They're trying to establish it, and we're seeing the setup for the beast system, but we're not going to see the system itself. That is a comfort, but I mean, I don't know how much of the setup we're actually going to see, or maybe the setup and some implementation.
That's the thing that all of us in the prophecy world, including you, we've all struggled with and to realize I'm seeing the setup. There's no doubt. And we're not going to be here for the tribulation, but how much of the setup do I need to see? That's been the question that people continue to ask me. And I say, honestly, I don't know how to answer you. All I know is God is not finished with what he is doing. I've had people that told me that God told them the reason why we're still here is because not everyone that's going to be saved is saved yet that's going to be taken in the rapture. And of course, I have my other things that I'm seeing in the church where there's got to be a little bit more separating the wheat from the chaff, and that's occurring right now. Maybe the intent is not so much how we see things, but it's more of a separation needs to happen and more people need to be saved.
I'm moving on quickly, and I want to discuss for a few minutes these 15-minute cities. You and I have actually talked about that in a previous program many, many months ago. I've talked about it and written about it because 15-minute cities are coming. We don't know the timing. Again, is this a tribulation experience? Does the church ever see this phenomenon? It's happening in parts of Europe. This is a short clip of you talking about these 15-minute cities, and you have an acquaintance, apparently, in Oxfordshire. They think it's pretty great over there. And I think the conclusion of this clip is, hey, folks, it's all about control.
What are we going to see on the ground? Well, the new thing that's coming our way is a 15-minute city. You might have heard about this. They're already doing it in places of Europe. Paris is doing it. In England, they're doing it. I have a friend that's in England, and he got put in one of these 15-minute cities. They had a town hall meeting there, and this is in Oxfordshire in England. And they all got in there and told them how great it's going to be. You're going to save the planet by not riding in your car very much. And what you get to do is stay within a radius of 15 minutes from where you live. But I know what you're going to say. Well, my kids go 30 minutes to school. Well, too bad. Either you move to a school in your area or you move out to where the school is. Well, I work an hour away. Well, fine. Find a job in your 15-minute city or you move to another 15-minute city. Oh. And he told me this, that they're only going to allow him to leave the 15-minute city 100 times a year. 100 times. If you go over 100 times, you get fined 100 pounds, but it's really 100 bucks. That's prison. And for what? What's the purpose? To save the planet and to satisfy Greta Thunberg, the prophetess of the wacko save the planet stuff. Yeah. But see, what is the real intent? Because they know it's a lie. We know it's a lie, the saving the planet stuff. It's junk. All you have to do is read Genesis 8:22, and God says, I'm going to take care of everything. Don't worry about it, about the weather and all that stuff. I have it all under control. So what is it about? It's about control. That's what it's about. And they're starting to do this in different places.
Brandon, back in January of this year, I wrote in one of my newsletters, the headline was, How Will You Escape the Green Dragon in 2023? Because I could see the environmentalism / green agenda was going to become the dominant factor, which it seems to be. And here we're talking about 15-minute cities, and we're talking about the purpose of these is to save the planet because climate is king again. I didn't know I was a prophet when I wrote about it back in January. I had no idea. And now climate lockdowns are probably on the horizon. Greta Thunberg has changed the world.
Like I said on that clip, what is it all about? It's to be able to herd us in like cattle into areas that they control us in. And my friend Ken Luff that lives in Oxfordshire, he's the one that's telling me about this. And the people have been so brainwashed in his area, they actually voted for it when the government officials have presented it. So they have done such a good job at brainwashing people that people are willing to sacrifice their freedoms to save the planet. This is not only happening in Europe, but it's coming to America. It's the idea is that they don't want people living in rural society. They want them all urbanized so they can control them. This is also the attack on farming. This is the attack on your ability to travel. Even Saudi Arabia is creating a place like this. It's a big cube-shaped thing that they've created, but basically it's a 15-minute city. So you even get the Saudis involved in this. This mentality of forcing people into zones is climate lockdowns. That's what they're forming.
Brandon, we got acquainted with lockdowns because of a certain medical experience the world has gone through in the last 3 years. But did you think that they would return?
The test case proved to them with the whole lockdowns for health reasons, it proved to them that they could get global compliance.
Yes.
And the experiment worked very, very well. We all know that they were doing Event 201 in New York with Bill Gates, practicing for what a pandemic would look like. So it worked. So now what they have to do is threaten us with another health problem to lock us down. The other things to lock us down is the climate. And the other thing that's now being groomed to lock us down is a threat from alien invasion. I know I sound like I'm out of my mind, but the government just came out saying they have alien spacecraft. They've been reverse engineering. And you're like, what is this about?
What is this about? I signaled you. I said, what on earth is going on? And is this just some scare tactic? But talk to me about it.
Whether it's the save the planet or it's the health issues of pandemics. But now they're adding in, we could be eventually under alien attacks. And they're using this as a psychological operation to get compliance. Because they have to give us global crises that we all have to work together to solve the pandemic, to solve the climate crisis. And if we're going to be attacked by aliens, we got to all work together, all given a reason to scare people so that they scare them enough that they will give away their freedoms for security and be willing to be locked down. why in the last 5 years, going back to 2017, actually, has the government been releasing Navy radar, where we're picking up all these things on our radar? Why have they been doing that? Because all these years they've been hiding it. But it seems to be that it's a psychological operation eventually to scare us enough for them to grab more power and more money from us and lock us down.
But what the pilots are seeing is real. You and I feel it's demonic. We're talking the UFO experience, unidentified flying objects, would be of a demonic nature. So what they're seeing is real. They may not know what it is, but it's real.
It is real. It's the demonic activity of fallen angels and preparing the excuse for the rapture of how they're going to explain it away. So you remember Rahm Emanuel saying, don't let a good crisis go to waste. I think they're taking advantage of this UFO phenomenon, which we know is demonic and fallen angels, saying we can use this as a lie to get compliance. And we can tell the people we found spaceships and we have aliens that were trapped inside and we have their bodies, all to get compliance. So there's two things going on. Yes, these things that the Navy pilots are seeing are real. They're fallen angels and demons. But the government is now using that as an excuse to get control. It goes hand in hand. We have psychological operations being perpetrated on the entire globe by the governments of the world.
I'm glad you raised this. I had wanted to slip that into our discussion, so I'm glad you did. Where do you see this going? I'm talking about the PSYOPs and the supposed found spacecraft. I think the whistleblower even said there was some sort of a creature inside. Now, a week or two ago, a story broke that residents in Las Vegas actually saw aliens from a UFO walking around their neighborhood. They described these aliens in detail. The date of the incident was the night of April 30th, May 1st, though it was just reported in the last week to 10 days. The exact area of this sighting was actually blacked out by the media, so it's hard to know just what the real facts are. We do know that if they saw mysterious beings, like they insist, they were demonic. They were supposedly 10 feet tall, and other details were provided, large eyes. This is increasing here in the last days and increasing as we near the rapture. We can be sure that aliens will be the reason people will insist millions disappeared in the rapture. But here's why I believe they are simply demons. This happened the night of April 30th, May 1st. That is Beltane, the second highest satanic holiday. Demons manifest on these days. That's my humble opinion anyway. If they saw something and they insist they did, the demonic world is overactive right now, and you can be sure that on one of their big holidays, Beltane, they would be very, very active. Brandon, where do you see this going?
I see it going towards more lies. They serve the father of lies. They will continue this narrative as one of the other crises that we will have to somehow lock down, somehow give up rights, have to have identity trackers. Jan, I'll give you some hypotheticals. These are just opinions. Maybe they'll say, look, we don't know who's alien and who's human, so we now have to have a digital identification on every human so we can mark everybody so to be safe whether or not they're aliens or not. Who knows what kind of things they'll say, but people will believe it. And like I wrote back to you in an email, even though we won't be here for the tribulation, you could really see from a atheistic secular standpoint how they would turn all the supernatural events into this is high-tech alien technology, we're under attack. Instead of seeing it as the judgments of God, they'll say we're under an alien attack, and the Antichrist is the only one that defeated the two aliens that came in human form, and he's the guy to solve our problems from this alien invasion. Who knows?
In other words, the two witnesses are going to be called aliens.
Yeah, because they're going to be able to do supernatural things, and they're going to say, look, that's not human. They must be aliens that have technological power. No human can breathe fire out of his mouth. Come on, guys. You could totally see how the Antichrist or whoever would change the narrative from it being God's judgment and accept Christ to saying, look to the Antichrist to save us from the aliens. It's just right there. I know that sounds crazy, but look, it's the narrative they're already creating for us now. And Chuck Missler wrote the book back in the 90s about alien invasion, and he mentioned that the necromancers, those who were tapped into demons that were giving them information, were already telling them, look, there's going to be a great disappearance called the Great Evacuation. Billions of people are going to disappear, and also children will disappear. But don't worry, they've been beamed up to the alien spaceships for re-education, and the children are beamed up. They're going to be taken to a new planet to populate that new planet. And that's right in Chuck's book in the 1990s, where demons were actually saying that. So you can see the narrative getting set up for even the rapture.
Talking to Brandon Holthouse, he's pastor of Rock Harbor Church, Bakersfield, California. And by the way, Brandon has the Church Tracker on his website, rockharborchurch.net. Church Tracker, where they have identified some 600 churches that they would recommend. And they removed a few because they looked into it and found that some of them were not as sound as they had hoped. Still, a good nucleus of some churches you can check out if you go to rockharborchurch.net and look for the Church Tracker. Well, here's where I want to go in part two of my programming. How do we prepare for these perilous times? How do we prepare financially? How do we prepare spiritually? How do we fight the discouragement of our times? How do we not let the news, even that we're talking about, not devastate us? How do we not grow weary in well-doing? And how do we encourage one another, Hebrews 10:25, when we ourselves can get discouraged when we talk about these ESG scores and these 15-minute cities, some of the plans that the globalists have in mind? Again, we do not know how much of the setup God's going to allow believers to see. We just know the church is removed. The church is not a building. The church is a body of believers. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that will be removed from the terrible time of trial outlined in Revelation, starting with the seals, the bowls, etc. But how much of the setup could we see? We're already seeing the setup, folks. We're seeing huge setup. So we'll talk more about how do we prepare for these perilous times when I get back in just a moment or two. Don't go away.
We hope you stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We have entered our 22nd year of broadcasting Understanding the Times Radio, and now are heard on almost 1,000 stations and electronic outlets. Thank you for partnering with us. We are in a critical time for believers, as we are clearly called to be watchmen on the wall in these last days. We can't thank you enough for trusting this ministry and for investing financially and prayerfully. If we have been a blessing to you, why not tell five people that they should tune into Understanding the Times Radio for news, views, and truths? If you don't know which station to listen to, listen on our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, and then go to radio. We have years of programming posted there in both audio and video format. The rest of 2023 is promising to be a challenging year, so stay tuned and always look up. He is coming soon.
Well, everybody out there has a purpose. We're called for such a time as this. That's why we're here. You have to find your purpose in what you're supposed to be doing in these last days. And that actually is a positive thing, that you can have an effect to stop a lot of this, that you can shine a light and expose this.
You know you can't always be by our radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video versions of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here are Jan Markell and Pastor Brandon Holthouse to wrap up today's programming.
For too long, humanity has existed within dysfunctional and polluted cities that ignore nature.
Now,
a revolution in civilization is taking place. Imagine a traditional city and consolidating its footprint, designing to protect and enhance nature. The line will be home to 9 million residents and will be built with a footprint of just 34 square kilometers. And we are designing it to provide a healthier, more sustainable quality of life. The line's communities are organized in three dimensions. Residents have access to all their daily needs within five-minute walk neighborhoods. And the line's infrastructure makes it possible to travel end-to-end in 20 minutes with no need for cars, resulting in zero carbon emissions. By leveraging AI technology, services are autonomous, saving you time and effort. Designed by world-leading architects, the line is 500 meters tall, 200 meters wide, 170 kilometers long, and housed within an elegant mirror glass facade. Intelligent solutions create efficiency and year-round temperate microclimate with natural ventilation. Energy and water supplies are 100% renewable. The line is designed as a series of unique communities, offering a wealth of amenities, providing equitable views and immediate access to the surrounding nature. With 40% of the world accessible within 6 hours at the heart of the globe's key trade routes, a place for commerce and communities to thrive like nothing on Earth seen before. The Line, the city that delivers new wonders for the world.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Is that someplace you want to live? Because it's really prison, it's what it is. And God forbid you step out that city and it's 125 degrees in Saudi Arabia and those mirrors reflect that light back to you, you will burn up like an ant in a magnifying glass. Has anyone thought of that? I mean, come on. It's 120, 130 there. Who in the world is thinking that's a great place to live? But here's the thing. They're prepping us. They're socializing us. They're conditioning us to accept being locked down in areas. And bless God, don't give in to that. If they do that in your town, you go immediately to the city council and you protest that. These crazy people that have got into your city council, well, try it. You've got to stand against that.
Folks, that was a little video that we showed on Neom, Saudi Arabia. That's going to be the home to 9 million people. It's going to be one of those 15-minute cities. We're kind of done talking about that, but I wanted to introduce you to Neom, Saudi Arabia. My goodness, how the Middle East is getting involved in all the things that we're talking about. And Brandon, one comment about this. It sure reminds me of the New Jerusalem. Now, my radio audience can't see the clip we just showed, but we do a video version, folks, and you can access this under radio at olivetreeviews.org. olivetreeviews.org. You can watch our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, His Channel TV, where we actually have a literal video version of all that we're talking about. Brandon, you'll be astounded at the similarities, am I right?
Oh, man, it's cube-shaped.
Yeah.
It looks like the New Jerusalem. And then inside of it, it has this tower-like structure. So it blends this adulterated version of the New Jerusalem with a Tower of Babel right in the middle of it. As a Christian, you cannot miss the messaging with the shape. It's what they all want for us, and it's going to be the new utopia. This is where we want you to live in. But like I said on the clip, it's nothing but a wall-less prison. That's what they're putting us in.
It's kind of on the schedule for Saudi Arabia. Do they have a date for that, Brandon Holdhouse?
No. The best I can understand from what they're doing, they want to do it as quick as possible. Saudi Arabia wants to prove it is ESG compliant, which is amazing because Saudi Arabia produces oil, which they see as a sin for the climate. So Saudi Arabia realizes that this ESG is so powerful that they're going to have to reinvent themselves to be more eco-friendly. And it's amazing that MBS, the prince there, would actually buckle under the pressure of ESG.
You're right. I'm moving on, Brandon Holthouse. Brandon is pastor of Rock Harbor Church, Bakersfield, California, and encourage you to follow his prophecy updates heavily on Rumble and on his website. And say, if you want to stay up to date with what we're doing, sign up for our newsletters. We have a print newsletter, a magazine that comes out 4 times a year. And we have an e-newsletter that we send out 1 to 2 times a month. So we'll help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and become watchmen on the wall. You can sign up at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to newsletters. Brandon, you have a presentation on the woke church and the tares among the wheat, which would be Laodicea. I have been watching the apostasy, certainly over several decades here, and then following probably the George Floyd incident in my hometown of Minneapolis, and following COVID lockdowns, people came back to their churches some 12 months later, and everything had changed. And the term became, the church went woke. People didn't recognize their church, perhaps of 10, 20, and 30 years, yet no good definition have I heard about what is this woke church, since you have a whole presentation on it. Talk to me about it for a few minutes.
The biblical definition of wokeism is apostasy. What the woke church started after the shutdowns and during the shutdown. So all these pastors came back into the pulpit with a different set of values, a value system that comes from progressive leftism and turns the church upside down on its Judeo-Christian values. So for instance, the woke church promotes gay marriage. It promotes LGBT lifestyle. It promotes transgenderism. It promotes abortion. Everything that you and I hold dear as Christians and the values that the Bible teaches, it does the opposite. And then it creates a false guilt on people that we're responsible for all the racism in the world. And really, when you start realizing what it was used for, is the Marxists couldn't create enough class division in America. So they decided to use racism to divide us, and they've done a successful job at that. The division of racism is put into wokeism. That's why you had a lot of pastors coming out the first day they were back saying, we need to apologize for our white privilege. That comes straight out of the Marxist playbook. Really, we have another entity in the church called Marxism and the religion of Marxism that is now being practiced. And this is why you're seeing churches baptize people that are practicing homosexuals. You see the drag queens now. You see lesbian pastors, all of this going on. You see Raphael Warnock promoting abortion. That's the woke church. It's really another word for apostasy. It's all it is. That's the church that is giving us, the remnant church, the most fits. Because I will say this as a pastor, I get less pushback from people that don't believe in God than I do from the woke church. The woke church gives me the most problems. They're the ones that call me the murdering church because I wouldn't shut down during the lockdowns. They're the ones that call me the hateful church because I'm against the LGBT agenda and the transgender agenda. They are the ones that are giving the remnant church the most problems.
This is cross-denominational, too. This is not just the religious left that we're talking about. I think we should clarify that. There are some evangelical churches that have simply gone along with the whole idea of what the religious left embraces.
And that's when you know that this is bigger than a denomination. It's all over the world. I have people from all Western society telling us that this is going on in their churches. So it's a global event. It's beyond denominationalism. And I don't know of too many other denominations at this point that hasn't been affected by it. So it's everywhere. This, I think we can put firmly down, is the great apostasy that was predicted in Scripture because it's so global.
I found it interesting, Brandon, and I've already announced your church tracker. And you had perhaps, was it more than 1,000?
We had about 1,400 on it.
And you told me off air that you just plain had to remove a large number of those churches off of your church tracker because you actually called and talked to the pastors. What did you hear?
It was shocking. What we were hearing is some of them actually asked us to be taken off our church tracker because they definitely didn't believe what we believe. And I'm wanting to say, well, then who recommended you? And why does your statement of faith say the opposite of what you believe? But that's what's happening to a lot of churches. they have these pastors in there, and the pastor doesn't agree with the church's statement of faith. So we went through there. We asked them simple questions. What's your stance on Israel? If they didn't have a stance on Israel, we dropped them. They needed to be pro-Israel. We asked them what their stance is on eschatology. And if they were preterists, all millennials, post-millennials, we dropped them. We whittled it down to about 600 churches, and we're now continuing that same format where we actually talk to the pastor and see where he's at. But, Jan, I'm shocked that the remnant's smaller than I thought, and that's what it proved, and that a lot of these pastors are woke. They're following exactly what the agenda is coming from the Whore of Babylon.
Interesting, though, the church had been recommended by apparently people attending it that it should be a part of your church tracker outreach. Then when you look a little deeper, maybe not.
There was a disconnect sometimes from the people that recommended it. And of course, we investigated by looking at their statement of faith, and their statement of faith was solid. Eschatology was right. Salvation was right. But then here's the thing. I think the devil's way of infiltrating the churches these days is to take these woke pastors and put them in, and they don't ever change the statement of faith of 40 years. They just let that maintain, and then they have their divergent views, and it's a way of infiltration.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here talking to Pastor Brandon Holthaus, Rock Harbor Church, Bakersfield, California. Brandon, I am transitioning now to how on earth do we cope with our times? You have a whole series called Preparing for Perilous Times. And obviously we're in them, and we're seeing, as we've outlined in the first three-fourths of our programming, we've outlined some very perilous things that the people are going through or could perhaps be about to go through. The ESG nonsense, 15-minute cities, some things we haven't even talked about, digital currency, and I hesitate bringing that up because I've talked about it a dozen times or more on this program. That is on the horizon as well, and the Bible says there's coming a cashless society. Digital currency should not be shocking to anybody, the fact that it's coming. We haven't even got into the whole open borders globalist effort, and we may not have time to do that. But tell me, I asked in opening the program, how do we cope financially, spiritually? How do we fight discouragement? And how do we encourage one another when the outlook is pretty bleak? Now, for the true believer, and you and I get beaten up for this all the time, we escape the wrath to come. We do not go through the tribulation. But again, as I've said now for a second or third time this hour, we're watching the setup for the tribulation, so we're seeing some pretty tough things that we have to watch. How do we not let the news of the day devastate us? How do we even cope in practical ways? Now, we've got 10, 15 minutes left. I want to open it up to you and address this, please, because we need to end here on a much more positive note.
Absolutely. So that's what prompted me to teach Preparing for Perilous Times this last semester in our church. And what I did is take people through how to prepare not only physically, but spiritually as well. And I took a passage from the Apostle Paul that he was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:10 through 11. Paul, as we all know, went through perilous times himself. He was beaten and eventually beheaded, and he mentions all of this, of what he went through. But he's telling Timothy in this last letter before he dies, here's what you need to do to survive perilous times. And he names seven things, and this is what I've been teaching on. He goes, you have to carefully follow my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, the faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. And what I did is unpack each one of those, and what he was referring to is how did the Apostle Paul just continue to pick himself up after so many things were coming his way? Well, first of all, his doctrine, which means the scriptures, actually was carrying him through the perilous times. He knew the truth. He knew what it meant to be in reality because of that truth. What we're seeing in our society is people that don't believe the truth, they immediately go into unreality. One of the things that kept Paul grounded was reality. And that only comes from the truth. So you've got to know the truth on every subject. Then he talked about his manner of life and how he conducted his life. Right now, Jan, why are they pushing the pride movement so hard? Because they actually want a reaction from us. They want us to not turn the other cheek and retaliate and seek vengeance for what they're doing to our kids so that they can install more control over our lives. So I call that the Bubba factor. And what you'll see with the Apostle Paul, he didn't invite persecution, and he tried to avoid it as much as he can. But when it came to him, he never retaliated. And that's exactly what they're trying to get us to do so they can clamp down on Christianity. And then he says, my purpose. Well, everybody out there has a purpose. We're called for such a time as this. That's why we're here. You have to find your purpose in what you're supposed to be doing in these last days. And that actually is a positive thing, that you can have an effect to stop a lot of this, that you can shine a light and expose this. And then he talks about his faith. And the idea is this, the only way that you're going to survive is you have to have the faith enough to sacrifice. You have to be willing to give up the comforts of your life in order to endure what's coming. Because they're going to take away your financial values. They're going to limit what you can eat. They're going to limit your transportation. Your lifestyle will change. That faith is God will provide for me during those periods of time. And then he mentions long-suffering and the idea of enduring the coming persecutions and the coming lifestyle change. Like Jesus said, you have to be willing to give your life in order to gain it. And a lot of Christians are not preparing to lose at any point. But it's coming. The longer we're here, the more we're going to lose. Then he talks about love. Now, here's the thing. They're calling us hateful. They're calling us mean-spirited in that we're the ones that are transphobic and homophobic. But we have to maintain what true love is. Love is based on the truth. And therefore, in order to love properly, we have to be engaged with that truth. And then the last one is perseverance. And what did that mean? That Paul didn't let anything hinder him and his call. And that's what every believer has to hear out there. You can't let this evil stop you. You can't surrender to it. You have to push back. You have to fight. You have to shine the light. And that's how he persevered. So he told Timothy, do these things. On a practical level, you better understand what biblical wealth is, because that's what's really going to be challenged in a big way. And you're like, well, what is biblical wealth? Well, it's a store of value. It keeps its value over time. The biblical wealth must be rare. It must be divisible, divided into smaller units. It must be portable. It must be durable, must be fungible, and it must be acceptable by everyone you're trading with. Because what's getting ready to happen is a black market. They're going to go to a digital currency. And if you do not want to participate in that digital currency, then you must be willing to understand that you need to invest in your assets into biblical wealth. Because a digital currency is not biblical wealth. If you look at the biblical wealth, you had flocks and herds, you had gold and silver and precious stones that we see throughout the Bible. Tangible assets like land and real estate, those are real assets that you have in your hand. And that's what we consider biblical wealth. Solomon said to put your investments on seven ships. If one sinks, then you have six left. And so you need to diversify and invest in biblical wealth. And know this, every time a country has changed its currency, it loses its value by 40% when they do the changeover. So if we're going to change to a cashless system, expect a loss of value. But biblical wealth will maintain its value. And what you want to do is be able to have a biblical wealth to be able to turn back in when you have to convert to digital assets so that you don't lose your cash wealth because you had tangible assets. And that's what I've been recommending to people. Also, you need to have a medical supply. You need to have enough prescriptions that you get from your doctor to last you at least 30 days if that gets cut off. Otherwise, you will die if you're dependent on medication. You need enough supply to last you if that supply line gets cut off. You need access to good food. You need to have access to vegetables and beef and chicken. What we're forming at Rock Harbor Church is we're forming a community that can sustain itself by having access to farming and those who sell beef and chickens and eggs and the ability to survive food-wise. We call it the marketplace. If your church doesn't have that, call us and my lead guy will help you develop a marketplace for your church that you guys can do a trade and barter type of system if we go to a digital currency. The other thing is security that you have to think about. The security aspect is a major thing and churches need to have security. Like we have a security that, forget about calling 911. They won't come in time. So what we have developed is our own security. You can call our security. Our security guys will come immediately. And they'll get there before the police will an hour or two later. So you need to think in those terms practically. And it all centers on what kind of church you go to if they're willing to do this.
I think one of the things that's coming, Brandon, and I appreciate you outlining things as you have there, because people need a call to action. And we can sit and talk all day about things that are going haywire, but unless you present some positive options, it can be pretty bleak. But continuing on in light of things to come here that the globalists are messing with, and you talk about it, and I actually have a clip of you, I think in the interest of time I won't play it, but we hear about it all the time, replacing meat with synthetic protein. There's an attack on our food supply, and rationing could be up ahead. The encouragement to don't eat meat, we've heard this now forever. Remember what Noah told us, that anything and everything is available to us now, but not to the globalist mindset. Talk to us for a minute about this.
There's a strategy by the globalists to get us off of protein. What we know is that you restrict protein, especially in third world countries, many people will die. And they don't have a problem with that. They want to reduce the population by 70%. So they're going to force global starvation and limit a protein. And most of third world countries get their vitamins from protein that they eat. They don't have vitamins like we have in our shelves and we take a multivitamin. They get their vitamins from the meat. So they know if they cut off meat from third world countries, they'll die of just nutrition deficiencies. The other thing that they're doing is the synthetic meat, which has now been proven to have cancerous cells in it. Why would they want us to eat synthetic meat that can cause cancer? And the other thing about the bugs, they want us to eat bug protein, particularly larvae and cricket protein. Well, what they find in some of the factories that produce edible crickets is that 80% of the crickets had parasites on them, so that if you did eat them, you would ingest parasites in you. And also crickets and the kind of other bugs that they suggest us eating have chitosans in their exoskeleton, which carries parasites as well. So you're talking about eating things that could really kill a lot of people. And I don't think this is an accident because, again, the whole global movement wants to do a major depopulation to get it down to about 1 billion people on the planet. That's a lot of death. And they say they want to do it in a civilized way. The civilized way looks like it's going to be starvation.
It's truly a privilege and a challenge, though, to be born for such a time as this. I mean, we're seeing in the last 30, 40 years the setup for things that the Bible outlined would happen in the very last days. We've seen the rebirth of Israel. My goodness, we've seen so many things that are stunning. We've seen things that many generations never thought that they would live to see. Obviously, a lot of negative things as well. My listeners need to continue to be salt and light and try to delay some of this decay. And you gave us a wonderful outline there of some of the things they can do. But I think the most important thing that a few listeners today need to be doing is to name Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Because if so, we leave this planet in what's known as the rapture of the church, which I think is imminent. It could be today. We escape so much of the trials that are coming upon the earth. I think we should wrap this up with a couple of minutes here of just a good gospel message to wind things down.
Because you can escape all of this, and we're definitely seeing the setup, but it's worse than any time in human history with the tribulation. So as a believer, you're promised to escape all of this by knowing the Messiah. If people will understand that Jesus lived the perfect life they couldn't live, that he's the God-man, he's the long-awaited Messiah of Israel, he's the King of Israel, and that he said, if you believe in me, I will give you eternal life. And believe that he died on a cross to pay for your sins, was buried, rose on the third day, and says that anyone believes in him, he will give this everlasting life that can never be taken away from you. And all you need to do is trust in the person and work of the Jewish Messiah, who is God come in the flesh. And if you will do so, he not only will save you spiritually, but he will save you physically from the worst time in human history. That's how actually I got saved. I was so scared to death listening to a radio broadcast on the book of Revelation that it scared me into Jesus's arms for salvation. That's the whole point, that Jesus can rescue you from this. All you have to do is place your faith in him today, and he will rescue you not only spiritually, but physically as well. So I pray that many people would do that. It's not too late, but don't wait too long. Today is the day of salvation, and you need to get this right now.
Brandon Holthouse, thank you for all you do. Again, look up more about Rock Harbor Church at rockharborchurch.net in Bakersfield, California. I had the privilege of ministering there a couple of times, 2-3 years ago. check out his prophecy updates, his messages and sermons online, and that church tracker on the website. There's some 600 churches that they feel are solid. Brandon, is that internationally?
We're starting to pick up some international ones in different parts of the world. That's starting to happen.
Well, the true church is hurting in parts of the Western world, and starting with Europe, so I think it would be very hard to find exactly what folks are looking for. Even Canada is starting to get, well, tragic things are going on in Canada. Folks, I want to go out of the program today. I want to emphasize one Bible verse. When we talk about troubled times, I'm always reminded of the verse I love found in Isaiah 33:6. And God will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. Our times defy human knowledge. We can try to analyze them and even change them, but ultimately, we must rest in the fact that nothing is out of control, as God is always in control. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. God knew about today's events before the beginning of time. Nothing is out of control, as He is always in control. God is orchestrating each and every event so that all that is predicted can fall into place.